This is a presentation of Dawn Forge Productions.
You're listening to All Things Azeroth, episode 296. How much is it to buy Orgrimmar? Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABook. That's bit.ly/ATABook. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. Today's podcast is also sponsored by GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Visit them at GoToMeeting.com and try it free for 30 days by using the code PODCAST.
You're listening to All Things Azeroth. Your World of Warcraft podcast. With your hosts, Midros and Shade.
And welcome back to All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast. I am your host, Midros, and with me I have Shade.
Hello, hello.
How you doing there, Shade?
I'm all right. It's been a long week.
You know, one of these weeks we're going to have to, like, have it where you intro the show and, like, welcome me to the show or something. We have to do that one of these days. Just to throw people off.
Just to switch it up a little.
But you know what, Sean probably...
Everybody be like, "Buh, what happened? I don't know."
Sean would probably go crazy if we did that, because he probably expects me to start every time.
He'd be like, "What the heck is up with this shiz? I don't know." Anyway...
So, anyways, how are you overall?
I'm okay. It's been a long week. Like, a long week. I haven't even gotten much Diablo 3 in. Like, seriously. I think the last time I played Diablo 3 was, like, Sunday. My dad messed up his knee. So, we've had, like, doctor's trips and things like that. And I've mostly been helping him around the house and whatnot. Today, we planted a shrub. We bought a shrub. And it was, it was supposed to have trumpet flowers on it, right? Which we thought was pretty cool, because the hummingbirds like that sort of thing. Except that it was fine, it was green, it was bushy, it was fine, it was fine, it was fine. And then overnight, it just shriveled up. So we had to dig it up and take it back to the greenhouse and figure out what was wrong with it. And the guy was like, "Well, you didn't water it enough." And we're like, "But the dirt is wet." Like, the moisture meter says that it's wet. And he was like, "I don't know, but I think I can nurse it back to health." And we're like, "Okay, cool." And then he said, "Do you want to wait for it? Because I can have it blooming again in like a couple weeks." And I said, "You know what? We're kind of in the desertish side of the valley. So maybe we should just get another shrub of some sort that would grow there." And then he pointed out this really nice shrub that has these really pretty kind of purple little tiny flowers on it, and he said, here, we'll exchange it for this one." And we said, "Okay." So we took the shrub home, and then today, you know, this afternoon, my dad and I dug up the dirt and got it ready and did all the soil prep and then planted the plant, and then I took the tag off of it after that. And when I took the tag off of it and I looked at the tag, the plant is called, literally, it's called a Dark Knight Bluebeard. So it's Pirate Batman. That's the plant's name. It's okay. Pirate Batman.
Well, you'll have to give us occasional Pirate Batman updates.
Yes, I will update you on the status of Pirate Batman. Right now, he's chilling comfortably at the top of the stairs, and he seems to be doing okay, so...
And you thoroughly drowned him?
Well, we didn't drown him, but we, like I said, we did the soil prep with, like, the vitamin B and all that other stuff, and made sure everything was all nice and saturated and got him all settled, and then we're gonna... you know, soak the heck out of him tomorrow and see how that goes. So, yeah. We'll see.
That's cool. For my week, I actually got a fair bit of Diablo in. Must admit, I did not log into World of Warcraft except for a bit on Sunday. But I still played another game by Blizzard, so I think that counts. Got my monk through Act 1. Got my wizard... Wizardess, technically, I guess, but got her through most of Act 1, and I'm going to work on my... Basically, my plan at this point is to get my characters, you know, one act at a time, basically get all my characters up to Act 1, and then next move them all up to end of Act 2 and stuff like that.
You know what bugs me?
No shade, I don't. Please tell me.
Okay, so I went through, like, on my Demon Hunter and did everything, and I got all these achievements, and then I'm about halfway... About a little bit of the ways into Act 2, I realized that, oh, you have to keep going back to talk to people to get the conversation achievements, because they have different things to say throughout the game. Okay, I got them all. I took my monk through, and I made sure that I talked to everybody every step of the way so that I could get them all cleared out. I have all of them except for the blacksmith, and somewhere in the first 5 minutes of the game... I apparently missed a conversation option.
Okay.
But I don't know how I did.
Would you like me to tell you?
Yes.
Okay. When you come back with Cain...
Uh-huh.
He then sends you to go talk to the blacksmith.
Right.
Before you talk to Cain, go talk to the blacksmith.
Oh.
It's before you get that quest. That was one that I... Because I used a guide to get through the first act of make sure I got everybody's questions, conversations for the first act. And that one actually says it's supposed to be later on, but you have to make sure you hit him before you talk to Cain.
Okay. Well, I'll have to do that. I'll make a wizard or something and go do that, because that's like, it'll take 5 minutes.
Remind me, I will link you up to the guide that I found for these conversations.
No. I don't want the guide. Okay. I want to find it myself, but thank you for the hint, though, because literally, that's the only one I'm missing, to have all of them. I got everybody else, like everything from everybody else.
I've talked to about 8 people. Every one of them has been stuck on the same one, and it was really tricky to figure out how to do it, so...
Okay, all right. Oh, Hastur says in the chat channel, did you find the components for the Staff of Herding?
I have two. Of.
I have three.
Okay, I've got the mushroom. Mm-hmm. I've got the shinbone. Yep. I have not gone after the bell, because the bell costs too much money, so I'm saying.
Oh, I went in and got, well, with my Demon Hunter, I mean, okay... I'm probably not playing the game how it should be played, but, like, if I'm not using a piece of gear, I just vendor it. So I've just been vendoring stuff all over the place. So when I was playing through with my monk, I already had over 100,000. So I was like, okay, I'll get my monk to Act 2 and then have her by the bell.
I spent too much money on blacksmithing, honestly. And
bells. Yeah, I got my blacksmith, like, fairly high level. But then I was like, okay, I'm done messing with you for now, because you can't even build anything I can use, and I'm just going to go find random stuff, because I seem to be really good at finding the random stuff, killing things.
For, honestly, the shinbone, complete accident. Just happened to find it going through on my monk.
Oh, you got it. Oh, see, the shinbone for me, I had to farm for the shinbone.
Then I went through like 8 times to get the mushrooms.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, see, that was the one that I got.
Yeah, I reset 8 times to get that thing. And then, literally, the next day, going through on my wizard, and guess what pops?
The mushroom?
Bloody hell yes. I was so mad, because I don't need 2 of them. I only need to make you can't trade them.
Can't you keep it for, like, the next level of difficulty or whatever? Do you have to make a different one for each level?
It's one staff.
Or is it always there?
It's reusable. Doesn't really... Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was like, thanks. Thanks for that.
Huh.
Eh, my own mistake. I should have waited until I got other tunes through, because it's not like I'm going to have 100,000 gold anytime soon. Like, I'm only up to 50,000 right now. And you need another, beyond the 100,000 to get the bell, you need another 50,000 to get to actually make the damn thing. And then I need to get Liquid Rainbow and...
Yeah, I think what worked for me is that I when I clear dungeons, I go through every nook and cranny.
Yep, me
and
too.
I destroy everything that I can. And then, I go back and I sell stuff fairly frequently, too. But like I said, I vendor a lot of stuff. a lot of, like, if I can't use it, I'm like, vendor it. If it can't go on my companion, vendor it. The companions, I love the companions, because, like, my demon hunter went with the Templar the whole way, mm-hmm. right? And the Templar has, like, just some seriously hysterical lines. Well, since my monk is melee, I decided to take along the scoundrel.
Okay.
He has some of the most interesting conversations with my monk. He's like a skeezy dude. It's kind of funny. I like him. So yeah, I haven't wandered with the Enchantress yet because she bugs me.
Allura, correct. That is very correct. And I absolutely love the fact they have him. He's perfect for the Templar. Allura is saying that the Templar is voiced by the person who played the security officer on Enterprise.
Oh, cool.
And I'm trying to remember his name at this point. Rajan, different Enterprise. The actual TV show Enterprise. Yeah, Dominic Keating is his name.
Yeah.
A perfect voice for the Templar. Like, absolutely perfect.
I love the stuff that he says. He's just...
I love how protective he's about Leah and the Enchantress. Like, I'm like, dude, I don't care if you want to hit on them. Go ahead and hit on them. I don't want to hear it for the next 10 dungeons. But thank you very much for your...
I like the one where he's like, the scoundrel will talk about Leah, and he'll talk about, he's like, do you think she's interested in me? And the monk is just like, the female monk, her answer is always, no. she doesn't get offended or anything, she's just like, no. And then he's like, oh, we're stuck in this dark dungeon, perhaps we should cuddle or something like that, you know, and she's like, no. And he goes, really? And she goes, no. It's fantastic. But yeah, I love the I love the Templar. He's all, a worthy adversary and stuff like that, you know. And like when you fight the big group, he's always really excited. He's like, can we find more like that? You know.
And Hester points out notable actress from sci-fi, Claudia Black, actually voices one of the bosses in...
Oh, cool. Yeah,
the big spider, female spider boss.
Mother, okay. Of the succubus. Cool. Yeah, cool.
But let's move along from Sanctuary. For those who aren't aware, who perhaps don't follow me on Twitter, I actually got a job this week.
Yay!
Call center work supporting Netflix Canada. So if you are a Yay! Netflix Canada subscriber and calling into customer support, in a week or two, you may hear me. And if you do, I apologize ahead of time, just to clarify. But yes, it's going to be fun. It will unfortunately affect the show for some folks, because at least next week we will not be doing a show due to my training schedule. Sorry.
Sorry, guys. Employment trumps podcast.
Indeed. Money,
like, pretty much.
From employment definitely trumps money from possible ads.
Yes.
yeah, so we'll be taking a week off next week because there are issues that prevent the show, but we will be back on the 11th of June. Yeah, 11th of June for the live show after this.
Is it the 11th?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
So, yes, enjoy the show, and we'll be off for a week, so... let's talk about our sponsor here, because we do have a sponsor, of course. The great folks over at GoToMeeting. With colleagues working from home or traveling for business, getting everyone together for a meeting can be an impossible task. I have the solution. GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Your team can meet face-to-face while online, no matter where they are. It takes only seconds. It's very, very easy to set up. GoToMeeting by Citrix allows you to collaborate on files and plans online. And with HD Faces, you just need a webcam to turn your online meetings into a group HD video conference. Now you can even participate on the go using the built-in camera on your iPad. Just download the free GoToMeeting app to join. I've seen it used in different applications and different businesses I've worked in. It's a great service. I definitely recommend you try it out. Even if it's just a trial, check it out. It's a great service. And I love it. I love using it to really interact with those who I'm trying to talk to in conference calls. It's great. See how easy GoToMeeting is with HD Faces My listeners, or our listeners, sorry, can try it free for 30 days. Don't wait for the special offer. Visit gotomeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button and use the promo code PODCAST. Be sure to use the promo code PODCAST so you can try it out and let them know that you heard about it from us.
And now the news. From around the world of Warcraft.
The first thing I want to talk about, we're all about right now the beta. People are really excited about the beta and seeing what's coming in the next expansion. One of the things that I think is really cool, and something that I'm actually very, very happy that they finally have started to do, is the what has changed it with your class. This is going to be really, really convenient, I think, for people who are coming back who maybe have not been, you know, vociferously consuming the news about what changes are coming in this build when they have 5 builds a week and all this other stuff. So this will really bring everybody really up to the right level and let them know what's changed and how things have changed with their class. What do you think?
Here's the cool thing about it, right? Okay, so you have a tab now on your spellbook. It's like your spellbook, your professions, core abilities, and what has changed. What has changed tells you what exactly, it's like an update, and it says, okay, here's what we adjusted with your class. And I know for rogues right now, it mentions the poison changes, because you don't carry poisons in your bag anymore, they're just on your spellbook. And then warriors, it talks about rage generation, because that's something that's changed a lot with Mists of Pandaria. So any big major class tweaks or changes that you see, it'll show up in that tab. Now, I'm assuming that this isn't just for, you know, launch, that this is something where if they have a major patch come out that has some major changes, maybe it'll pop up in there. You know what I mean? It's like a little news notification type thing. And if that's the case, that's really cool. But the other thing that's cool about this is the tab right next to the What Has Changed tab, the core abilities tab. Have you seen that?
I have not, no.
Like, have you seen what that does?
No.
The core abilities tab basically goes through, you know how when you pick up a new class or you go to play a new class and you suddenly have like this big whomping gigantic pile of various spells and abilities and things like that, and you never know quite which ones to be using? Like, there's no real intuitive way to know exactly which ones you should be using.
Mm-hmm.
What the core abilities tab does is it takes like the most important spells or abilities that you should be using every fight, and it lists them in there, and it lists what you do with them. So like with an assassination rogue, it lists mutilate, and it says mutilate is your main attack. When you have 55 energy, hit this and you'll get 2 combo points. And then it says, you know, slice and dice, and they say, you know, slice and dice is something that you want to keep up. Same thing with rupture. So it lists mutilate, slice and dice, rupture, and venom, and then I forget what the other one was. There was one other one that I use frequently. What is it? I can look real quick because I have the screenshot. Dispatch. That's what it is. Dispatch is basically backstab, but it was changed to dispatch, and you can actually use it from the front rather than having to be behind an enemy. But it explains it. It says, use this when enemies are below 35% health. Instead of mutilate. That's your combo point generator. So basically it just goes through step by step and says, here's your core abilities. Here's the stuff that you're going to use all the time. And I don't know about you, but I think that's actually kind of handy to have there. Because if I pick up a new spec, even, or anything like that, I want to know what abilities I should be using as that new spec. And there's no, you know, right now you have to tab out of the game, go find a nice guide, look at the guide, see what the rotation is, that kind of thing. This kind of helps with that, so it's not quite as necessary. So yeah, it's nice. They're adding all these little things between this and the what has changed thing. It's like they're going out of their way to make everything just a little bit easier to figure out for people that aren't, you know. Back in vanilla, there wasn't any of this. There wasn't any tutorials. There wasn't anything else. It was just, you played the game. And the game at that point wasn't really that complicated, so it wasn't really necessary. But the game has grown so much in the past 7 years that this is actually something necessary that they should be doing. So I'm glad they're doing it. It's nice.
It's good to see that they're, you know, kind of educating people, and they're really sticking by their "we want to remove the idiot opportunity from speccing," which is really good to see.
Yeah.
So let's move on to our next topic here, and this is one I just wanted to mention briefly. It's not Warcraft related, but I'm sure that our friends at Blizzard would appreciate this being said for the community, so to speak. This past week's been a not-so-great week or two for gaming people. Lots of layoffs from several different companies, including two companies that completely shut down. Well, technically one, but the other one's half of it's owned by the other. So our best wishes out to anybody who does listen to the podcast that works or worked for 38 Studios or their affiliate studio, and also anybody who worked at BioWare who recently got laid off as well. Because it's not easy, I know, for myself to be looking for a job, though there are a lot of really talented people who are now looking for work in the community, in the gaming world, so I'm sure that there'll be a lot of studios who can make use of those really talented people who are now without jobs.
I like the fact that Twitter, like Twitter,
yeah,
has just been a buzz about this, with like people saying, gaming companies have been posting and saying, "Hey, we have jobs open, here they are, come apply."
Yeah.
You know, it's just everybody's been really supportive of it. Because these people, like, literally, I think Tuesday they were being told, "Hey, we're all going to stick together and make it through this." And then Thursday it was, "You're all fired. Every single last one of you. Bye."
Yeah, there's a rather eerie, I guess, article that I read from Twitter the other day of somebody who had been out at, you know, a donut shop near their offices a week before the layoffs hit, and people were, you know, so trusting and so upbeat and excited and really, really interested in you know, moving forward and very positive about the future for the company. And then, you know, just a few days later, they were all laid off. So it's not easy to believe and then suddenly have your beliefs crash down on you. So,
yeah. So I'm hoping that everybody finds jobs soon, because that stinks.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, there's a lot of really talented people, but there's a lot of companies that need talented people. So hopefully a lot of those people will find new positions and new companies to work at, and there'll be a lot less talented people looking for work in the business. That aside, the next thing I want to talk about here was the daily quest cap. See ya.
I'm excited about this. When daily quests first came out, like when they were first introduced in Burning Crusade, there was a limit of, I believe, 10. You could only do 10 a day, and that was it. And that was actually pretty okay, because there wasn't that many daily quests to do. But as they added more and more daily quest hubs and things like that, people, like, they couldn't pick which 10. You know, so if you were trying to grind rep for Ogrelaw and the Sky Guard and work on, you know, like dungeons and things, pretty soon you just ran out. You'd cap out at your 10 quests. So they upped that. They upped it to the 25 that we have right now, which is fine. And in Mists of Pandaria, apparently we're going to have hundreds of daily quests to choose from all over the place. There's daily quests all over. It's not just cooking and fishing and farming and all of that. There's all kinds of daily quests all over the place. So when we hit level cap, we won't just have all of those new dungeons to do. We won't just have the raid to do. We'll have a gigantic, whomping bunch of daily quests to do. And because of this, they're removing the daily quest limit. Gone. Bye-bye. You can do as many as you want in a day. It's fine. It's just a daily quest. It's a reoccurring thing. I think this is fantastic. Because I know that when the Darkmoon Fair is in town, if I do all of the Darkmoon Fair quests, and then I go back and I go to work on, like, the Argent Tournament quests, I can't do, like, my Tol Barad dailies. You know, there's, like, a limit. I hit that cap. And right now I'm working on Tol Barad to get the last mount that I don't have. and I'm working on the Argent tournament to get the mounts that I'm missing, because I'm missing like two from there. So yeah, reaching that limit kind of stinks. I'm glad it'll be gone. I really am. What do you think?
You know, I'm not surprised they've had it for so long. You know, they definitely have always wanted to, you know, I guess bottleneck people and prevent them from doing too much. Maybe it was a limit on, you know, how much amount of gold or emblems or whatever the hell they had at the time that you could make per week or per day. But I'm happy to see it going, because that means those who want to can do a lot more dailies. You can literally go back and do dailies for every expansion from Burning Crusade on. If you wanted to, you could spend hours on one character doing dailies across tons of different places if you want. If you don't, you don't have to.
Yeah, and it's pretty much, it's how much time do you want to put into doing some dailies? If you want to spend all day doing daily quests, you could certainly do that. Would I recommend it? No. But you can. If you've got a lazy day and nothing else to do, go knock out a bunch of dailies. If you feel like farming gold, this is a great way to get gold. Are you kidding me? It's a fantastic way to get gold. Right now, just by doing Tol Barad dailies, I get something like a little over 200 gold just for doing, you know, a half hour's worth of dailies in Tol Barad. So, I mean, getting gold, much easier.
This announcement is basically why I tell people never say never. Because honestly, if you'd asked me a week ago if I thought they were going to remove or even increase the limit on dailies, I probably would have told you probably not. Now, they've changed it. Anything can happen in the beta. Any change can happen. Blizzard can change their mind, and they have every right to change their mind. I wouldn't have expected this. I know I'm not alone. I don't know if you would have expected it, Shade, but I definitely did not expect this until I saw the announcement. And then I was like, wow.
I didn't think that they would ever remove that cap. I figured they might, you know, bump that cap up a bit, make it like, you know, 30, 40 mm-hmm. quests or something like that. Because, you know, they do have new cooking, and they have cooking specialization, and then they have, like, you know, the whole Tillers faction coming in. Well, that's another group of dailies. And, you know, and I was thinking about it, and I was thinking of all of the different places that offer dailies and that are going to offer dailies. And I was like, they're going to have to raise that cap a little bit, because otherwise people are going to cap out, and they're going to have to pick which ones they want to do. And that, and it's not like a time limit based picking. It's a, you know, a solid cap that says, no, you can't play this anymore. I think that's what bugged me about it the most, really. It was, you know, I had the time, I had the inclination, I went to go do the stuff, and I couldn't do it. Like, the game literally said, no, you can't do that. You can't play that now.
Mm-hmm.
So it was limiting how much time I spent in the game, you know? It was limiting what I had to do in the game. It was limiting my choices, my options. And they're removing that limit, which is cool. I like it.
It's good to see, and it does mean some interesting things coming in the next expansion for sure, for those, again, who wish to do it. Not everyone wants to do it, but those who do. Yes. So for those who want to do the dailies, you can. If you don't want to, you don't have to. So here's one thing I want to talk about moving back to Diablo 3 quickly. Anybody who's played Diablo 3 knows that there are so many Easter eggs for World of Warcraft community in Diablo 3, it's not funny. From the multiple Tsar hymns, to Bashiok, to something that I found to be absolutely amusing as hell, and that is the Lich King's crown, or helm, is in a place in Diablo 3.
Yep, Lich King's crown is there. There's also, occasionally, you'll find a random rare spawn mob called a data miner.
Yeah.
Have you run into one of those yet?
I have not, no. Not that I noticed anyway.
I don't know. Yeah, half the time I'm not even paying attention to what the enemies are called. I'm just killing them. But I tell you what, when I run into a rare that has a developer's name, I definitely noticed that. Or, well, not a developer's. CM names, like Zarhim is in there, Bashiok's in there. I think there's a few other people in there. I know that there is a random spawn bonus dungeon called Developer
yes,
Hell.
Yes, I've been
Developer
there.
Developer Hell. I
tried for about a week or so to hit it, and I hit it just before Shattered Soul Snow recorded on Friday. It is a blast. My recommendation for anybody who does go into there, do not spend too much time looking at the names and trying to get all the names, because you'll die. You'll get rushed by too many mobs trying to get their names, will drive you crazy, and you'll die. Also, run from Jay Wilson. Kite him as much as you can.
Oh, is he that bad?
He's tough.
Okay.
I definitely recommend kite. Kite all you want. For those who want to find that, it's in the Cemetery of Forsaken on Nightmare or higher. So, good luck. And listen to Shattered Soulstone, because I did a reporting from Dev Hell piece in there. So, definitely listen to that. Cool. That actually went up yesterday. Hey, but yeah, lots of really cool Easter eggs in Diablo 3 for those who do wish to play. Have you seen the final release? Well, not the final release. The first release of the Warcraft Monopoly game has been put out. The collector's edition.
I have not seen it yet, but from everything that I've heard and all of the unboxing, because I know McCurley got a copy. And he did an unboxing of it, if I remember correctly. It's pretty. It's really, really pretty. Like, it's gorgeous. And right now, let's see. Yeah. WoW Insider's actually giving away the collector's edition of the World of Warcraft Monopoly. If you go to the website, you just leave a comment on the post. You have to be 13 years or older and a resident of the U.S. or Canada, excluding Quebec and Puerto Rico. But that drawing is going on until June 1st, so you have until this Friday to leave a comment on that post, and they're just going to randomly pick a name. So if you're looking to get one of those World of Warcraft Monopoly sets, that would be a good contest to enter.
I just posted my comment to try and win, because I would love to have that. It's only about $40 for the collector's edition, so it's not too bad.
No, it's not.
But I just want World of Warcraft Monopoly.
it's less than the collector's edition of World of Warcraft.
I want to buy Stormwind. Forget Orgrimmar. I just want Stormwind. yeah, that's really cool. Definitely check that out. It's really, really neat. Let's take a break and do one of our segments, shall we?
Okay.
All right. Here's a segment. Enjoy your spare parts.
Welcome to Spare Parts. Your engineering questions answered. Hi, junior engineers. I'm back again this week, and we'll be continuing our look at engineering teleporters. When the dark portal reopened and we stepped through, it was clear from the beginning that this was an alien and a hostile environment. For the first time, we were able to fly above the ground, avoiding most dangerous areas and obstacles that could be found on the ground below. However, flying was originally only available at level 70, and a fast mount cost substantial amounts of gold. Thus, it was out of reach of many players for a considerable amount of time. However, those enterprising goblins and gnomes once again adapted to the environment with the help of new technology and quickly fashioned new teleporters to enable travel to Outland's broken rocks, towns, and cities. As previously, before you are able to craft the lower level engineering teleport devices, you will first need to specialize in either gnomish or goblin engineering, and your choice will depend on which locations you wish to be able to get to. Once again, you can change your specialization at any time by visiting the Rain Sooth Fancy in Tanaris. Again, the teleporters not only have a specialization requirement to build, but also to use, so once you pick your teleporter, you will need to stay with that specialization in order to continue using it. If you choose Gnomish Engineering, your destination will be a pod a safe distance from the Toshley Station in the Blades Edge Mountains. If you choose Goblin Engineering, your destination will be the Steamweedle Cartel town of Area 52 in the broken, turbulent landscape of Netherstorm. For Gnomish-style engineers to build the ultra-safe transporter Toshley Station, first you will need to be at least skill level 350. Visit Smiles O'Byron, who is just to the north of the town at Toshley Station, far enough away from the town so that the guards won't attack Horde engineers, and he will teach you the schematic. To build the teleporter, you will need two primal heirs, one adamantite frame, two felsteel stabilizers, and four handfuls of fell iron bolts and a corium power core. Take them to an anvil with a hammer and an arc light spanner, and you will have your new transporter. Once equipped, you can use your transporter to teleport to the outside of the station right next to Smiles. Again, make sure that you have your parachute cloak, or equivalent, and some health potions equipped. Known malfunctions include being gender or faction swapped, being shrunk or enlarged, being turned into a chicken, or having your soul split to good or evil. For goblin-style engineers, to build the Dimensional Ripper Area 52, you'll need to speak to Kablam Farflinger, who is next to the teleport pod in the northern end of the Area 52 complex. Talk to him to learn the schematic. Once again, you will need to be at least skill level 350. To build a Dimensional Ripper, you will need two primal fires, an adamantite frame, four handfuls of fell iron bolts, a corium power core, and two bombs dubbed the Bigger One. Again, take it to an anvil with your hammer and arclight spanner to craft and then equip. Be aware that this also suffers from the same technical hitches as the Gnomish Transporter. Suck it up, it's part of the fun of being an engineer. Each teleporter is bind on use, and they are on a 4-hour cooldown as per the original teleporters. So get out there and craft them, and enjoy. And now it's time for the steam-powered mailbox. EJ, from the Girls Gone Wild podcast, and a fine gnomish mage if I do say so myself, has written in having power leveled from 0 to a maximum level of 540 with racial bonuses. To quote, I've made all of the teleporters, a Jeeves, a gnomish army knife, a zap throttle mode extractor, and a toolbox. What do you suggest I should go and do next with my newfound skills? Also, she asks, are cogwheels something to be interested in at this stage of the expansion, or should I wait and see what MOP brings? Well, as far as cogwheels are concerned, they only really fit into your engineering goggles, which are usually on par with the first tier of raiding gear, in this case with an eye level of 359. Designed to give you a little bit of a boost early on, they always use a raiding orb as a reagent, in this case a chaos orb. In MOP, I fully expect that based on the data mined info so far, we'll be getting a new set of craftable goggles, with cogwheel sockets that will have the parts attainable in the first tier of raiding. At this time, you should have access to the latest cogwheels rather than the current level 359 items in Cataclysm. This being the case, you really are better holding off and ignoring the ones that are currently available. By the time they're relevant, you'll have access to the new ones anyway. And now, for as far as what to do for the engineer that has it all? Well, something that I didn't see on your list is either the turbocharged flying machine or the mechaneer's chopper. I would highly recommend both of these to any proud engineer, as the hunt for the raw materials to craft both of these items is one of the most fulfilling personal quests to complete, and it really makes you appreciate these exclusive mounts. Assuming, of course, that you have these already and just haven't listed them, I'd start using your skills for profit. Start by hunting the rare materials to craft your rare engineered pets, like the lifelike mechanical toad and the tranquil mechanical yeti, de-weaponized companion and your personal world destroyer. These pets can turn a tidy profit, and the materials are rare and expensive, and thus most people can't be bothered trying to find them. People not bothered being able to find them means that they aren't posted as often. Not being posted as often puts them in demand. Being put in demand means they're expensive, which means profit for you. Also, remember that your teleporters that give you access to Blades Edge Mountains and Netherstorm? They place you close to Dealer Rashad at the Storm Spire. The pets that he sells can be reposted on the auction house for a good deal of money making. It depends on the realm, so try it out yourself on your home realm and see how you go. You might be surprised. I hope that answers your questions. And that's it for now. To send me engineering questions, please send emails or voice recordings to spareparsmailbox@gmail.com or contact me on Twitter at Moogiver. So until next time, stay safe. If you get gender flipped in a teleporter, don't do anything you might regret later. And tinker with pride.
I love the teleporters. The teleporters, we actually use those before every raid. I think our raid has something like 8 engineers in it, maybe more. So what we do before the raid is like somebody pops a mass summon, and then everybody uses their teleport to see if we can get some sort of glitch. And then when we come back, well, I mean, after we teleport, we hit the mass summon, we come back. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. It's kind of fun.
Cool. I have honestly I've never tried one.
They're highly entertaining.
I'm sure they are.
Highly entertaining.
Maybe one day I'll have to try one if I ever see anybody on the beta with one. Well, we'll see. Let's talk a little bit about login screens, shall we?
Sure.
So the login screen for Miss Pandaria, or as far as we know, what's going to be the login screen anyway.
It is the login screen on the beta right now.
Do we know it's the final one, though? I assume so, but...
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Well, I don't know if it's the final one, but it's what's on the login screen. When you go to log in on the beta now, you see this.
Yeah.
And you hear the Miss Pandaria music.
See, here's my concern. There's no big thing moving. There's just a few leaves here and there.
Yeah, well, and you know what? I kind of like it, because it seems a little tranquil and relaxed. And, yeah, when you actually log in onto the beta, it's this screen cap, and then there's, like, red leaves that float down and across the screen every now and again. It's just, it's very tranquil. The only thing that I think would possibly make it better is if there was a portal in between the two crossed spears. I want a portal. I want the portal again. I miss having the portal on the login screen. I'm sorry. I really do. Just make a portal back to someplace in Azeroth and it'd be neat.
I'm half expecting the final one to include some cloud serpents, you know, flying by occasionally or something.
As long as they don't roar, I'm okay with that.
I'm fine with no roars. I don't know how they could fit a roaring dragon in the scene we see, but I half expect to see at some point they will add cloud serpents.
That scene, that particular area, that's actually an area in the game. It's in the Vale of Eternal Blossoms, which hasn't opened on the beta yet. But if you go up on the wall in Kunlai Summit, and you go towards Town Long Steps.
Mm-hmm.
So you just take the wall south a little bit. You can't go too far south, because if you go too far south, it'll flag you as being in the Vale of Eternal Blossoms, and then it'll teleport you out of there. But you can see bits and pieces of it, and you can see in the distance, you can see those statues.
Mm-hmm.
And for those wondering, those statues are huge. Like, they're giant. Those little yellow trees at the bottom... A character can stand underneath the tree. It's actually a fairly tall tree. So, like, I don't even think that you'd come up to the toenail of that statue. They're very big. It's pretty cool.
So, yeah, we're inching towards release here, folks. Don't know when that'll happen yet, but...
Well, we haven't gotten an actual release date yet, and I don't know when we're going to get one of those. Obviously, we don't have any cinematic yet. The cinematics don't usually come out until just before release. Like, the Cataclysm cinematic came out, like, a month before Cataclysm's release.
We will have a release date before we have a cinematic.
Yeah, we will. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a lot of excitement, and it's a lot of really interesting stuff going on in the beta right now, and I know that there are a lot of people who are really, really excited. If I wasn't Diablo 3 so much, I probably would be too. I do plan to get back into the beta. I'm not sure if I will level... my character too much. I don't know if I want to see all of the content, but we'll have to see. We'll have to see.
Do you know what I did today?
Wrote?
No, besides that.
Oh.
On the beta.
Got a mount?
I bought a Grand Expedition Yak.
You have your own personal traveling reforger now.
Yes, I do. The way that the yak works, oh my gosh, this mount is so cool. Okay, giant yak with a big thing, a bunch of cushions. You sit on a cushion underneath this red umbrella, so it's like the bling of mounts, right? I mean, there's just, like, so much stuff on it. But it has the little side carts, and in the little side carts, there's two little grummies. And the grummies are... they're basically wandering travelers and vendors... They're tradesmen, pretty much. They wander around and they trade and things like that. They actually, they remind me very much of... Do you remember... Did you ever see the Disney version of The Black Cauldron?
No.
Oh, man. Okay, so you have to watch Black Cauldron, because there's a character in there named Gurgi. And Gurgi has this really weird voice. Anyway, so the Grummies totally remind me of Gurgi. They look like Gurgi. Gurgi has a funny voice, too. He's all like, munches and crutches, oh yes. He has this really weird voice. But yeah, the Grand Expedition Yak. One of the guys is a vendor, and he repairs, too. He's like a repair vendor. And then the other guy, he's a reforger. He'll reforge for you.
Hmm.
I think that's pretty cool.
Indeed, indeed. It definitely looks like a lot of fun, and I'm sure it'll be a very popular mount for many, many playbooks.
It is expensive. It was 60,000 gold, and I have a lot of gold on the beta that I'm not doing anything with, so I was like, yeah, I'll drop it, check out the yak, why not? Because yaks are awesome. The animations and stuff on the yak aren't quite finalized yet. Like, when you hit the space bar, he doesn't have any mount animation,
mm-hmm.
and he doesn't jump or in place or anything. Occasionally, when he's just standing there, he'll tilt his head back and forth and make this really weird yak roar noise. And your character characters don't sit on the cushions quite right yet. They sort of float above the cushion. So when you're riding around on your yak is galloping along, and you're just sort of hovering stationary over the top of it. And obviously this is all stuff that's going to be tweaked and adjusted. It's a cool mount, though. It's a really cool mount. I love the yaks. I think they're great.
Regent in the chat room said that this is a mount that is not cross-account. Have you had a chance to look into that at all?
I haven't checked my other characters on my account to see if it's cross-account or not. I wouldn't be surprised.
I want it to be a cross-account. If I want to buy it, I want it available on all my tunes.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's not worth 60k. Not to me. But that's probably just me, so... It looks like a really cool mount, and for those who do get it, congratulations, and have fun. You'll probably have a lot of people wanting rides in it.
It's really cute, because it's got these stubby little legs. They're like these giant yaks, and they have these tiny little legs, so they're just like, ticky-ticky-ticky, across the ground. They're fantastic. I love them.
I do like them, and they are really, really cool, so... We'll have to wait and see how that finally comes out, but there's a lot of... I mean, again, this is beta. Things can change. That mount can go account-wide. They could take others that are currently account-wide and remove them from account-wide.
They could even lower or raise the price. Indeed. You know, the price isn't even set in stone yet, so we'll find out.
Let's do a trivia question, shall we?
Yes. Why don't we do that?
Okay. We shall.
So, this week on Know Your Lore... last week I covered the state of the Horde, currently, and this week I covered the state of Alliance, and if you haven't read that, you should totally read that, because it basically goes through and explains why the Alliance really hasn't been the dominant force in this expansion. They're still recovering from everything that happened in Wrath. Like, all of the devastation that happened and the people... Because they lost thousands and thousands of people in Northrend. So they're kind of crippled. And when the Cataclysm came, it knocked out the Night Elves. They lost thousands of people. You know, it just ripped through Darkshore and kind of wiped everything out. Anyway, so on the subject of the Alliance, what I'm talking about... of the first alliance was actually a human alliance. It was the Alliance of Lordaeron. And there were seven kingdoms that made up the Alliance of Lordaeron. Of those seven kingdoms, there's only three that still exist as nations that we actually interact with extensively as alliance today. And I want to know the names of those three kingdoms. I think there's like one more or two more that we kind of touch on, but they aren't like an extensive part of alliance lore at this point. Or of Warcraft lore at this point. So yeah. I just need to know those three kingdoms.
Allura says Disneyland, Tristram, and Cuba.
Close but no cigar. Hastur, you are also close but no cigar.
That is correct. Hastur is very close. You know, your state of each of the factions.
Yeah.
Very interesting articles. I really enjoyed them.
I had a lot of fun writing the Alliance one, because the thing is, yeah, there hasn't been a lot of Alliance lore in Cataclysm, but given the current state of where they're sitting from a military perspective, they can't go on the offensive. it would be bad if they went on the offensive at this point, because they can't afford to lose any more people. They've already lost enough people. So what do you think they've been doing? They've been regrouping. They've been rebuilding. They've been getting everything back together again. And as soon as they get everything back together again, they're going to go right back on the offensive. And what I think is interesting in particular is Varian. Varian understands this. Like, Varian has an innate knowledge of this. And it's because Varian has seen all of this before.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that Varian has seen all of this before is this is exactly what happened between the First and Second War. The Horde got the upper hand. And then the Second War, the Alliance came together and was formed. And they crushed the orcs. Like, crushed them.
Mm-hmm.
Put him in internment camps. Varian's seen this before. He knows how it's going to play out. So he's playing it smart. And he's staying quiet. And he's letting that alliance get strong again. And he's letting everybody rebuild until they're actually powerful enough to jump out, take the Horde by surprise, and, you know, kill everybody. I think we do have an answer.
We do have an answer. The correct answer was given by Ollie Runner, Stormwind, Dalaran, and Gilneas.
Oh, there we go. Okay, so Ollie Runner? Is that the name? Ollie Runner, I need you to send an email to shade@allthingsazeroth.com, and you have won yourself a paint bomb loot code from the WoW trading card game. Basically, you redeem that in-game, and then you get bombs that you can throw at people, and it'll splatter them with paint, and it's quite a lot of fun. So yeah, shoot me an email, shade@allthingsazeroth.com, and I'll get you your loot code after the show.
Hastur, yes, Dalaran, we do interact with it as Alliance extensively. It is still a kingdom.
It is still a kingdom. Yep.
It just happens to have both Horde and Alliance.
It relocated
a few maps. They rebuilt a little ways from the...
Dalaran was actually one of the original Seven Kingdoms. Ronan is the leader of Dalaran currently. It was Antoninus during the Second War when they actually formed together.
We do consider Dalaran to be still in existence as a kingdom, even though it's not a king.
They're there. Kirin Tor's there. Dalaran's still there. It may have up and relocated, but it's still there. So, you know.
Allura, Bronzebeard. Now, do you ever want to go near Dalaran again? That's all I'm going to say.
Who is driving Dalaran?
that was amusing. So I do want to touch on one other story before we wrap up for the show, and that is the music that was released today, actually, by MMO Champion, or the not released but revealed, posted by MMO Champion, new Mist of Pandaria music.
Oh, I didn't get that.
It's a fairly extensive play of music. It's about 31 minutes if you do listen to the whole thing, and I definitely want to recommend people check that out, because it's really, really cool. I don't know if everyone wants to listen to it, because they may feel that there's some spoilers for content, but if you aren't afraid to be spoiled by names of songs or tracks, definitely check it out. It's pretty cool, I think.
Yeah, I noticed when I was in beta today, because I went to the Grummy Camp. I had to go to the Grummy Camp to pick up my yak, right? And when I rode into the Grummy Camp, suddenly there was music there. It was like a lot of wood flutes and things like that. It was actually really pretty. It was like just this little pretty kind of repetitive tune that let you know that, yes, you were kind of in a town of sorts of Grummies. So yeah, I don't know if that was a Grummy theme or what. It's pretty cool.
It's really cool to see the new music that they keep introducing. I always enjoy hearing new stuff in the beta. And from the beta content and patches, so it's really cool.
I've been playing the beta pretty extensively, and I play it with the music on and turned up. There's only a few areas where the music kicks in. Like, in the inns, it'll kick in with music, like in the Pandaren inns, because it plays the piece from the Pandaren starting zone when you go into a Pandaren inn.
Mm-hmm.
But out in the world, there hasn't really been any music to speak of. So... yeah, I've been running around with the music on, waiting for the moment where it slowly kicked in. Because I knew it'd surprise me.
one of, a couple of people that I actually killed in Dev Hell and in D3 were Russell Brower and some of the other audio people at Blizzard.
Oh.
And I actually make a point of saying, oh Russell, I'm sorry you're a zombie, but I have to kill you. But you make really great music. but yeah, you know, the audio people and the composers at Blizzard are really awesome. They make
top
great music.
Top notch people.
Actually, there's a couple of things I want to talk about, or at least mention. First off, they did finally reveal fully the official mounts for Pandaren, Dragon mm-hmm. Turtles, which we already knew.
Yep.
But the official look is now in game.
Yep.
So definitely go check that out. It looks really, really neat.
They're pretty.
One of your co-writers over at WoW Insider suggested a new person for War Chief. I'm curious what you think of this suggestion. Because I've not interacted with this character yet, because, of course, I'm Alliance. But Mr. Rossi suggests somebody named Sunwalker Desco for War Chief.
Oh, yeah, Desco's cool. Desco's actually... Okay, I'm not going to go into too many spoilers here, because I don't want to spoil any content. But Desco is one of the Sunwalkers. He's not part of the Horde forces that land on Pandaria. So he's not part of the Horde forces that you are with when you arrive in Pandaria. He has come from a different direction with a different agenda entirely. And as a Sunwalker, you know, he's a paladin, he's a Tauren, he's not really concerned with all of this faction back and forth warfare. He's just not. What he is concerned with is this vision that his wife had. And that's what led them to Pandaria. She had a vision, and he said, whoa, that's really neat. And then they set sail, because the vision was that compelling. Anyway, so you first encounter him down in Cressorang Wilds. You encounter him down there, and you help him out down there, and then you run into him later in the game. Well, the other person that you encounter when you're in Cressorang is Anduin. Even if you're Horde, you run into Anduin. And Anduin couldn't give two hoots if you're Horde or Alliance. He doesn't care about the faction thing. What he cares about is helping the Pandaren, and he wants your help doing that. So you get to hang out with Anduin Wrynn. I'm happy about this because I think Anduin is pretty cool, and I wish he could be my buddy all the time. Like, I think he's a cool kid.
I've actually seen people suggesting him for War Chief, and I'm like, yeah, because they're going to follow a human.
I don't think that's going to happen, no. If anything, he'll move into kind of that Thrall neutral figure, maybe. I don't know. But anyway.
My opinion, just from the screenshot, any Horde character or NPC who refers to Garrosh as, quote, the War Chief, is got my vote.
Right. Well, the thing is you go and you talk to Desco, and Anduin's standing next to him. And you have a text option. And the text option says, dude, the son of the Alliance leader is standing right here. Aren't we going to capture him? Because that was what the orc was all about.
Yeah.
You know, because the group that you come in with, they're all about, you know, Anduin. They took Anduin as a prisoner of war, and then Anduin got away somehow. And you run into him again later. And then you run into him later again, and he's standing there with Desco. And so you kind of ask Desco, it's like, shouldn't we, like, be grabbing the kid? And Desco says flat out, look, I don't care what our war chief, quote unquote, seems to think. No. I'm like, and my Horde does not fight children. My Horde does not fight unarmed children. And I will not do so.
So have a warlock cast a spell on Anduin to make him an adult like they did back before they came through the Dark Portal. And he'll be an adult and you can kill him.
And then he says, and this is the part that I like, right? He adds to that. He says, besides, this little one has earned the friendship and trust of High Chieftain Bane Bloodhoof. And for that reason, consider him under my protection. And I'm like, oh, they're going back to the Bane thing. Because the thing is in the Shattering novel, Bane and Anduin, they sat down and they chatted and they got along really well. And Anduin actually went so far as to give Bane a weapon that Magni had given to Anduin before he passed away. So, like, there's this connection between Bane and Anduin that was never really addressed in Cataclysm, I'm glad to see it come back here. And that somebody is actually talking about it. Somebody is aware of it. That wasn't just a book thing. That actually exists. These two guys, they're kind of wary sort of buddies.
I like the guy's attitude. He reminds me a great deal of a certain troll's attitude. The only troll that I actually have a fondness for. Except for the dancing trolls, which I unfortunately had to kill one time.
How could you?
The elves told me to. I had to.
Ugh.
Anyways, I'm sorry. But at least you went and killed them, all the elves that were hurting the trolls, didn't you?
Yeah.
You killed them bad?
Yeah. Like yeah, I did. So
you got your revenge.
Yeah. Every once in a while, I go back through there and I kill them again. Because I get so mad. So mad. So
vengeance.
Mad.
Vengeance is yours.
Anyway.
One last thing I want to talk about. I want you to kind of summarize an article you wrote about almost two years now of Real ID. My thoughts before you kind of summarize your article is basically that I think Blizzard has realized that Real ID isn't perfect and has a lot of things to be desired, which is why we now have battle tags.
Yeah, and the thing is like we're approaching the 2-year anniversary of Real ID. It's like the end of June. I think it's June 23rd or something like that, that it's going to be the 2-year anniversary of Real ID. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people that use it and use it effectively. Like my guild leader. My guild leader uses it like all of the time. He has most of my guild mates, he has their Real ID. So if he has to get in touch with them, he can do so fairly quickly. If he needs them to step in for something and they're off playing, you know, StarCraft or Diablo or whatever. He also, new recruits, he will give applicants his Real ID and say, okay, add me on Real ID and then talk to me there. Before Real ID, he had to have the applicant roll an alt on our server and hopefully be online at the same time as he was. Hopefully. And it didn't work so well. So yeah, Real ID works really well for him. For me, I have like 5 people on my Real ID. That's it. And 4 of those are coworkers.
Yeah.
Like, they're coworkers.
Yeah, see, you know, a lot of the issues people had, and it's the same issues you had when Real ID was first announced, is that it shows the real name. And there's a lot of people who have issues with that.
Yeah,
and
I don't
definitely
care
understand
about the
that.
Whole real name. Well, as far as I'm concerned, I don't care about the whole real name thing, because, hello, I write for WoW Insider, my name is out there. Yeah, what is that going to do? You know, it's not a big deal to me. But what bugs me about Real ID, and it's bugged me ever since it was introduced, and I still cannot believe that in 2 years they have not done this, there is still no log on as invisible option.
I understand why Blizzard says that. Their reasoning is WoW is a social game. You can't be social if people can't see you.
Sometimes I don't want to be social. Sometimes I just want to go chill on an alt. Every other IM program that I have used, every single one, has had a login as invisible or appear offline, right? Every single last one. Mm-hmm. And it was because sometimes you want to log on and you want to talk to one person in particular, but you don't want everyone on your friends list knowing that you're there, because suddenly you'll get bombarded with tells of everybody going, hi, what's up? I had breakfast. You know, I mean, like, you just want to talk to one person. Or you want to log on just to talk to somebody at work or something like that. Well, why don't we have that? Like, seriously, why don't we? 2 years! Why don't we have that? Is the technology not there? I can't imagine it'd be that difficult because, like I said, IM programs have been doing this for how long?
ICQ's been doing it for 20 years.
Yeah!
So.
Yeah!
Is ICQ still around even? I think it probably is.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, there are days where I log on and all I want to do is go farm in the middle of nowhere and not be bothered by anybody. Now, my guild understands that I'm a relatively quiet person, so people don't usually, you know, whisper me all that much when I'm online in-game. They just don't. Rossi will message me fairly frequently, but it's usually because he has some weird lore theory and I have some weird lore. And then we'll sit there and we'll talk about internet dragons and stuff. And that's fine. That's fine. I don't care about that.
Yeah, I have a fair number of people in my Battle.net and or my real ID in my battle tags. I almost never get messaged. And that's okay by me. I mean, I get messaged here and there when I get a cool achievement, and people, you know, whisper me, or I whisper people when I see they get a cool achievements. People wave at me and say hi to me in game, and that's cool. I don't mind that. But yeah, there are times when I kind of wish I could, you know, go offline, so to speak. Though I have figured out how to do it in World of Warcraft pretty easily with my computer. Just log out and log back in, and for some reason my Battle.net's dead. I don't know why, but.
I don't see why that wasn't implemented. That's my biggest problem with it is, okay, it's been 2 years. Obviously, people use the feature. They like the feature. Can you give us an invisible option, please? Because more people will use the feature if that feature's there.
Yeah,
more people will use Real ID if that feature is there. What I'd really like them to see them do is just ditch Real ID altogether and go with battle tags. Because I like the battle tag system. There's no real names involved, and since there's no real names involved, people will be a lot more comfortable sharing that information than they would be. So here's what I want to see in an ideal world. Everything gets converted to battle tags, and we get a log on as invisible option, or an appear offline option. That would make it perfect.
Let's quickly do our Audible ad, and then we'll wrap up the show, shall we?
Okay.
All right, of course, the great folks over at Audible do sponsor this great podcast we do here, and they provide over 100,000 awesome audiobooks for you to choose from. I definitely recommend you check them out, and there's actually a show I've been watching called The Firm, and it was actually started out as a John Grisham novel. I recommend you check out this audiobook, because it's a really, really cool audiobook. It's narrated by one of my favorite narrators, somebody who's narrated all the Warcraft books, the Diablo book that's out. He does a really good job at Scott Brick, who does a really great job of this. So this is a bit of a sample of The Firm, which is available on Audible.
Partners sitting at the small conference table near the windows. Precisely at 2:30, someone knocked on the door. Lamar looked at the partners, who slid the resume and dossier into an open briefcase. All three reached for their jackets. Lamar buttoned his top button and opened the door. Mitchell McDear? He asked, with a huge smile and a hand thrust forward. Yes. They shook hands violently. Nice to meet you, Mitchell. I'm Lamar Quinn. My pleasure. Please, call me Mitch. He stepped inside and quickly surveyed the spacious room. Sure, Mitch. Lamar grabbed his shoulder and led him across the suite where the partners introduced themselves. They were exceedingly warm and cordial. They offered him coffee, then water. They sat around a shiny mahogany conference table and exchanged pleasantries.
And that again is John Grisham's The Firm, narrated by Scott Brick. And if you want to try out Audible, just give it a sample and see what you think. Go to bit.ly/ATABook. That's bit.ly/ATABook. And you can find the link on our website at, of course, allthingsazeroth.com. So, Shade, how can people find us?
You can reach us via voicemail at 1-785-ATA-WOW-5. That's 1-785-282-9695. You can find the show on iTunes. Feel free to download it, rate it, review it. We like all of those things. You can reach us via email at show@allthingsazeroth.com. Medros is medros@allthingsazeroth.com. And I am shade@allthingsazeroth.com. You can also follow us on Twitter. The show account is allthingsaz. That's allthingsaz. Medros is Medros. I am Shades O'Grey. Shades, the letter S, and then G-R-E-Y. And then you can also follow Don Forge, our parent company responsible for a ton of other podcasts, including Group Quest, The Obscure Cast, All Things Edible, Halfway Around the World, Shattered Soulstone, and the upcoming Chronicles of the Old Republic.
Yes, still upcoming. Don't ask.
Still. Soon. TM.
Don't ask. Before we do fully wrap up the show, a couple of notes. We want to wish a very, very, very happy birthday to one of my favorite Warcraft authors, Richard Knack.
Happy birthday!
It is his birthday today, so happy birthday, Richard. from everybody here at All Things Azeroth and Dawnforge Productions. And also, I will be on the Darkmoon Herald podcast this Wednesday. I don't know if they do it live, but look for it in download. I'll be a guest, so I'm looking forward to joining their podcast as a guest. It's my first guest hosting in a while, so if you are a podcast host and want a guest on your show, I know I'm fairly open to guesting if I'm free, so definitely reach out and let me know.
Drop me an email. Like, seriously, all I need is an email and a willingness to work with my schedule. But, yeah, I go do podcasts. I like doing podcasts. Talking to people. Talking to people about things.
DG says he's also interested in guesting on podcasts as well. So. We will we'll be back next week. Do check out our web host.
Two weeks.
Due to employment, 2 weeks from now. And of course, check out our web host, dreamhost.com. They're a great podcast host. They have lots of bandwidth, lots of space for all your shows, and it's really reasonable pricing. So definitely check that out. That's dreamhost.com, and use the code Stormstout to save $50 off of any new account. And on that note, we'll be back in 2 weeks. So I used to say that every time. In the meantime, take care, happy hunting, and we'll see you on the other side of
Yaks.
The multi-seat yaks.
Yaks. Yaks are awesome. Anyway, night, everybody.
This has been a presentation of Dawnforge, copyright 2012. Find great podcasts and more at thedawnforge.com.